This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Pony Stampede Podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffeditz, and we are talking transfer portal today. It's been a wild, not even 2 weeks, of the transfer portal. SMU offensive coordinator Casey Woods called it the Wild West, and wild is definitely the best way to put it. SMU's done another great job utilizing the transfer portal. Quantity, quality, positions of need. You can tell that there's an emphasis on defense. Got some guys with Dallas ties, got some guys that the coaches know from previous stops before they were at SMU. Just a really good portal window so far, and it's, you know, got a good bit of time left for SMU to still be pretty active. So let's kind of jump into it. I think the two that were kind of the expected ones coming into the portal opening were Charles Woods and Jonathan McGill, two guys who had been committed to SMU previously before they ended up where they were. For Woods, that was from between Illinois State and West Virginia. For McGill, that was out of high school. Both defensive backs, which obviously is an area that is needed. Tons of experience. Lots of playing time, experience at a high level. So not necessarily surprises, but certainly, you know, for Woods to do it on day one was big, to kind of set the tone. And then to have McGill join that pretty quickly was also significant. And then it's just kind of been, you know, Woods committed on Monday, then there was kind of a pause. McGill did it Saturday night, and then Sunday was the day of Miami. You get Jalen Rooster Knighton and Elijah Roberts, defensive lineman, in the morning. Jordan Miller later that night. You know, then Keyshawn Smith makes it four former Miami guys, and then, you know, here in the last couple days, Hiron White, Kale Sanders Jr., Mod Walker. You know, with Knighton, I think this year has shown you can never be too deep or too strong in your running backs room. If it weren't for Tyler Levine and just kind of the beast that he is, it's scary to think what SMU's run game could be. You put him in, he was a four-star out of high school. His second year in 21 with Lashley as his OC was a really good year. Shows a lot of things on film to get excited about. And then with Roberts and Miller, two big guys on the D-line, you know, Miller's going to fit right in at 6'4", 320 to the middle of that line. Elijah Roberts, 6'4", 275. Roberts was also a four-star kid out of high school. You know, I think really shows something to you on the line. Keyshawn Smith, another guy who had his best year at Miami while Lashley was there. You know, again, same thing with running backs. I think receivers, everybody was talking coming into this season, you know, how are they going to get the ball to so many guys? And then they just kind of started dropping, and you know, going into the bowl game with Rashee, you know, healing up his foot before all of his NFL workout stuff, and Goffney hurting his foot in the Memphis game and not being in the bowl game, you know, the wide receiver position's all of a sudden this big question mark. So That's a big one to have. Then you go Hiron White, another local kid, a DeSoto kid, was on their state championship team. Another guy, you know, been in college a long time, a lot of experience. Last year, or this past season, was his second to miss due to injury, but 6'7", 292, big guy, plays right tackle at Mizzou. Probably will fit into that spot for the Mustangs. Offensive line, it's just so key. And it's definitely something that was needed with kind of the way the line looked this year, and then losing some of your, I mean, losing a Jalen Thomas type to some professional ranks, probably the NFL, is definitely needed. Kale Sanders, Fresno State, cornerback, again, got a guy, he's played in every game since he stepped onto Fresno State's campus, started a vast majority of them. Another guy with a lot of experience. Then you get Ahmad Walker, linebacker. You know, there's some big losses to graduation and running out of eligibility on the linebacker group. And again, that's a guy, he played for Coach Simons for a year at Liberty. A lot of tackles, again, a lot of experience, some starts. Shown he can play at a high level. You know, I mean, that's nine guys. And I think when Walker committed on Tuesday, I don't know, all the days run together, but I think they had nine commits in 10 days of the transfer portal officially being open, which is just ridiculous. They did, you know, kind of have to front load it. They lose this weekend of possible official visits with playing in the bowl game. They left on Wednesday to be in Albuquerque for all the bowl stuff that goes on, and you know, you saw the welcome dinner, and you know, they'll practice today, Thursday, and do a walkthrough Friday, and then game on Saturday. So I think it was Casey Woods on Tuesday who said they did kind of these back-to-back official visits, you know, anywhere from 9 to 11 guys in each one. Said they probably had 20 guys on campus over that stretch. Obviously, it's working. Whatever they're doing, whatever pitches they're given. I guess he mentioned Fogo de Chao seems to be their restaurant of choice for a lot of these guys. But, you know, I mean, and that's what it's about. Whatever point it is, it's relationships. It's obviously, it's Dallas and it's SMU, and there are some selling points there. Obviously, winning seven games, going to a bowl game is a nice selling point. But, you know, you have a couple guys who are already familiar with SMU. You get a couple guys, you know, three guys that are familiar with current coaches as their coordinators. And, you know, for Walker, I'm pretty sure Simons coached linebackers at Liberty as well. So that's also a position coach deal for him. You know, and coming into this, when we talked to Simons, defensive coordinator Scott Simons, before the portal opened and just kind of everything with that, you know, he mentioned last year they kind of thought that they were going to, you know, kind of get that wave and that there'd be more guys in the spring. Let's see. Here's the quote. Last year we got here after the first wave and thought there were going to be more guys that went in after the spring on defense, and that wasn't the case. There are a lot of guys that went group of five that were guys that either A, we wanted, there weren't a lot of guys that went group of five that were guys that either A, we wanted, or B, guys that we could address. Trying to address those needs is really important right now. Basically saying, you know, they kind of, with when they came in, missed on some guys that were committing basically around now, and thought that there would be some gets to be had going into spring, coming out of spring, and those guys weren't there. They were either going Power 5 or lower group of five or even FCS. So I think you see that reaction of saying, okay, this is when those best defensive players that we want and can get are in the portal. Let's go get them right now. They have. a linebacker, two D linemen, two cornerbacks, and a safety. And pretty quality guys. They've got some eyes on some other guys. We'll get to that in just a minute. But, you know, I think that was telling for him to just kind of come out and say that they thought that they were going to be able to get more and weren't later in the transfer section. And they really made a point to get those guys early this time around. Offensively, you know, you look at it, and I think if you follow on Twitter, you see the jokes abound about transfer quarterbacks and SMU, and that's, you know, been the trend for a little while now. You know, obviously, with Shane Buechele from Texas, and, you know, obviously Tanner Mordecai now from Houston, and even a little bit, I mean, you had Gilbert from Texas a few years ago. I mean, SMU's kind of had that reputation of, hey, if you're a quarterback at a major school and it didn't work out for whatever reason, come here, play a year or two, set some records, and find yourself on an NFL roster. Right now, they don't need to do that. You've got Preston Stone, who you probably didn't get to see as much as you wanted to in his one real chance. He ends up getting hurt before halftime, but man, looked pretty good for that half. You then have Kevin Jennings, who comes in as a true freshman at the end of the first half and plays all the second half of that Tulsa game, leads to the win, has that massive 91-yard drive against Memphis that, you know, if that doesn't happen, who knows what happens in that Memphis game. And then you've got, you know, Keldrick Luster coming in as your 2023 quarterback commit. Just had a really solid year at McKinney, took them on a deep playoff run, was first team all-district quarterback there, put up ridiculous numbers last year at the Frisco school he was at. You know, I think this staff feels pretty good about where that quarterback room is with those three guys. You know, you figure Preston's probably going to be your guy, Kevin's going to be your backup, and Keldrick will be able to kind of learn his way a little bit. So, you know, that you take the quarterbacks off the table, you know, what do you need? Well, you know, if we can get a 4-star recruit running back to go with our 5-star recruit running back and this year's leading rusher next year, that's not a bad trio, you know, plus I think as of now, they're expecting Velton Gardner to be back. You know, if he can be healthy for a full year, that's a quality group right there. Wide receiver, you know, Keyshawn was at practice on Tuesday, you know, talking to Coach Lashley for him, also position coach, you know, Rob Likens, that was at Miami came with Lashley. So, you know, he's reconnecting with him. So they were kind of joking around during some drills and stuff. He, you know, was talking to Tanner, obviously won't catch passes from Tanner with Tanner going to the pro ranks after the bowl game. But, you know, it was kind of interesting, you know, I'm sure talking about offense and probably talking about throwing to Rasheed a little bit and, you know, maybe asking what he saw in Rasheed that he can do. You know, I think that's good to see these guys around the program early. And I know there are some rules about how much they can do and all that stuff. You know, I mean, obviously he wasn't in pads and doing workouts, but for him to kind of see what things look like was good. Obviously there were some other guys, recruit guys there. You know, a couple possible big ones from A&M with LJ Johnson, another running back. You know, he was a 5-star. You know, shoot, if they can pull that off to have two former 5-stars and a 4-star in your backfield is pretty good, I think. You know, 5-star offensive lineman, PJ Williams, you know, had a little bit of trouble, got himself into a little bit of trouble at A&M. Again, after the break, we're gonna talk about some possible future targets. But, you know, I think really I expect at least one more offensive lineman. I think at least one more linebacker. And then maybe kind of a toss-up of a best best player maybe they can get. I think 11 transfers in this window is probably about right. They might be able to go to 12, depending on numbers. You know, obviously, there's a way that the rules still work. It's not quite a free-for-all, although it definitely can feel like that. So you've got to look at some of those things that make sure the numbers line up with who you've got signing early, with everything else there. But I do think they've got some options and some spots that they can still fill. So with that, let's take a quick break. And after the break, we'll talk about some top contenders on filling those spots. We'll be back after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
Welcome back to the Pony Stampede podcast. We are talking transfer portal, and we're switching to some guys that are still in the portal that I think, you know, SMU's either looked at or had on campus or some early offers for that are some interesting ones. You know, again, on the site, we've got the names for SMU fans to keep an eye on. That's constantly being updated. The story itself, plus some extra stuff in the discussion board portion of it, as guys, you know, get offers, take visits, either commit to SMU or commit elsewhere and are off the board. Just kind of a good catch-all for a lot of this stuff that's happening really fast. One of the guys I am highest on is Tyler Grubbs, linebacker out of Louisiana Tech. I mean, he's just a guy in three seasons, 244 tackles. He was a true freshman All-American in 2020. He'll have 3 years left. I also think there are a couple of JUCO options at offensive line. I like Leon Bell out of Kilgore College. Kilgore's done a really good job of sending guys D1 and P5 through the years. Also, he's massive at 6'8", 305. Kilgore ran for over 200 yards per game this past season, with him being a part of that. And then there is... On the defensive line, Amon Oates. I think he's probably going to end up at Oklahoma State. He's another big guy that can kind of fit in the middle. He did take a visit at SMU after his Oklahoma State visit. I think that's a good sign. I'm not putting in a crystal ball for him right now. If I had to, it would probably be for him to go up and be in Stillwater. Another interesting one, another former Stanford player came with McGill on his visit. is Drake Metcalf. Went to St. John Bosco out in California. That's a national powerhouse. It's where Jake Bailey went to high school. He was Stanford center, mostly. Limited, I think, just 3 games this year, but played all 12 games last season at center. You know, these are the ones that I, you know, you question, you know, what their timing is. And with the portal, there is a window now, so it's not quite as wide open, but the window's pretty long, so these guys have some options. I want to say I feel like him not committing at the same time as McGill isn't a great sign. I mean, I think we saw that with the Miami guys. You know, I'm pretty sure four were here and all four committed within, you know, three of them within 24 hours and the fourth one not too long after that if it was outside that 24-hour window. You know, supposedly had a good visit, but don't know his personal timetable as far as some other visits possibly or some things like that. So those are always the interesting ones kind of with the portal of what these guys are going to do. Mentioned it earlier before the break, PJ Williams, out of A&M. He was one of the four freshmen, who was reportedly suspended after the October 22nd game against South Carolina. He was then arrested for marijuana possession on November 19th. You know, he's a guy that might just need a fresh start, might just need a new place to be around some new people. You know, I mean, he was a 4-star recruit. He was the number 8 offensive lineman in the class of 2022. Under Armour All-American. He's 6'4", 285. Can probably add some good weight to him as well. You know, that'd be a big get. You know, I think he's going to be pretty heavily sought after. Think looking at some of his other offers, Cal, North Carolina, and then obviously Colorado has a lot of hype around it right now. Andre Carter, a DL from Western Michigan. Alan True from 24/7 was the one who reported his SMU offer. I don't think SMU is in the running for him, really. He's taken some official visits, and SMU not a part of those. But again, you never know what might happen on those visits, what might happen with some other things here and there that some things change. Another player that had picked up some steam is a defensive lineman, Anthony Goodlow, out of Tulsa. You know, SMU was kind of one of the early offers on him, but his has since picked up as well. He's got an Oklahoma State offer, Arizona State, West Virginia, UCLA, USC, teammate, linebacker Justin Wright, committed to Oklahoma State out of Tulsa. You know, that might be something where he follows and goes to play with him some more. He's a guy I was pretty high on early. Wasn't sure if he'd make the in the same conference move. I don't think that's as big a deal as it maybe once was, but we will see on him. My expectation is that things are probably a little quiet for the next couple days while SMU and the staff and everybody else is in New Mexico for the bowl game, getting ready for the bowl game. But a commitment isn't necessarily required doesn't necessarily require the coaching staff to be there. If, you know, they had a good visit, when they were here and are just kind of taking a few days to make a decision, there's nothing that says that a player can't commit, this weekend while they're in New Mexico. But there are just some, you know, there are some other guys here and there. I misspoke earlier. LJ Johnson was a 4-star recruit out of Cy Fair in 21. Not a 5-star, but I still think 2 4-stars and a 5-star would not be bad. I think 11 to 12 is maybe a decent number for this period. I don't have a feeling that there's much more movement off the roster right now. Expected, you know, things can happen in spring, and you know, when some of these new guys come in and some things happen, there's always that chance of that. But for now, I think the guys that are in the portal are the ones that are in the portal. Early signing day is next Wednesday. I believe Jackson Lavender is also signing early, wide receiver out of Lucas Lovejoy. I know Alex Kilgore out of Katie Pito and Brandon Maizono out of Frisco High are signing early and enrolling early to be here in the spring. So that's a couple linebackers there too, who will get a head start on things. But as you guys have seen, transfer portal's crazy. A lot can happen really fast. Just stick with the names for SMU to keep an eye on, the roster updates, the message board with both of those. When they happen, we'll get stuff up on them as quickly as we can. And if anything else, you know, starts to trend the right direction, expect a crystal ball headed that way. Right now, I don't have any. I've got a couple that I think could happen soon that are trending that way, but we'll just have to be patient and see. Until then, pony up.
New CBS Monday. NCIS is back.
We need all hands on deck.
So grab your gear.
NCIS!
And join our elite team.
What are the charges?
Murder.
New cases to be solved.
Double tap to the chest.
Same caliber as the murder weapon.
And new criminals to catch.
That's the bomb maker. Where's the bomb?
A new NCIS, Monday, 9, 8 central, on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.